Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota on Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.
Well, I always tell my students, follow your bliss.
Welcome to Bliss, the podcast. This is your host, Patch Drury. We've got a really great episode today, so I'm glad you're here to be with us. Our guest today is a local trained hypnotherapist named Paul Bishop. And I know what you're asking. You're asking, Patrick, or Patch, if we're close friends, why on a podcast dedicated to following your bliss are we talking to a hypnotherapist? Well, that is a great question. I'm glad you asked. If you've listened, hopefully you've picked up on the idea that following your bliss is all about going inside yourself and figuring out what's going on there, figuring out who you are, figuring out what your passions are, figuring out what the things that drive you are from the inside. And one of the best ways to go inside, one of the best ways to explore yourself is through hypnosis. My wife, Sarah, and I, we've been kind of studying and dabbling in self-hypnosis. And it was that pursuit of self-hypnosis that eventually led us to discovering Paul Bishop. And so I reached out to Paul to see if we could do an interview. I went to his office and we spent a great little time chatting. That I'm talking like I've never used English before. We spent some time chatting and it was a great conversation, very enlightening. If you're curious at all about hypnosis, this is a great one to listen to. And not releasing this here, this is going to be some premium content that you can get access to, but he actually hypnotized me later in our time together. And so it was a lot of fun, very interesting, very entertaining. And so I would love it if you would give a listen to my chat with the very talented Paul Bishop. Excited about it, but they were not.
I took my kids to see that movie. It was a good movie.
I thought it was a great movie, and it, especially this whole idea of the left-hand path of Joseph Campbell and Carl Jung, where you follow your own bliss in order to build up society in the process. It, more than any other Disney movie, like just rang that bell hard. And I was like, oh man, I really want to talk about this movie, and nobody cared. But that's okay. Your name is Paul Bishop, and what is your title? Tell the listeners what you would call yourself.
I am a certified hypnotist or hypnotherapist. I'm also a certified hypnosis instructor.
Okay.
And so those sort of certifications are through the National Guild of Hypnotists.
Okay.
And then I also have a master's degree in transpersonal psychology.
Awesome. So some people, and this I'm speaking from a place of ignorance here, so you can correct me, and I hope you will correct me if I say something wrong. A lot of people, when they hear the word hypnotist, they think stage performer. Whereas hypnotherapy feels different. Inside the industry, are there people who are really serious about that distinction? Like, I'm a hypnotherapist, I'm not a hypnotist, or is everybody pretty cool about hypnotist?
Right. So that's actually a very good question. So within the National Guild of Hypnotists, they, for a long time, the view was hypnotist, hypnotherapist are the same. And so when they would certify people, you could get the title of certified hypnotist or certified hypnotherapist. You could choose which one.
Gotcha.
Now they won't do that. Now, in order to get the title of certified hypnotherapist, you have to be a licensed therapist, a mental health professional, before you can get that title of hypnotherapist. So now they will grant the title of certified hypnotist or certified consulting hypnotist, but they won't just give you the title.
You can't just say I'm a hypnotherapist, because they assume there's more going on there.
And the reason for that, again, within the guild, to them it's still an interchangeable term, but legally within some states,
you probably can't say you're a therapist.
You can't say I'm a hypnotherapist unless you are a licensed therapist.
Okay.
And what the guild does and what we do, we're not licensed. We don't diagnose. And so basically what we say is that we help ordinary people with ordinary problems.
So what would be an ordinary problem?
Well, obviously the most common things are smoking and weight loss. I work with a lot of that, but also fears, performance issues like test anxiety or sports performance, feelings of inadequacy, you know, working with people with self-esteem issues or self-confidence issues. And actually, I find with most people, they can always have a little bit of a boost in self-confidence or, in improving their ego in some way.
So smoking, weight loss, self-esteem, a lot of people would look at that and say those are pretty insurmountable problems. But hypnosis has a solution to those?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Okay. Sure. And there are different techniques that I use when I work with clients. So most issues, I work with a client, you know, probably about 4 sessions.
Okay.
It depends, though. With something like smoking, it's typically just 2 sessions.
Okay.
With a fear, depending on what the fear is, it's usually just 1 or 2 sessions with a fear. But most things, it's going to be probably 4 sessions that I work with a client. And we'll do different things in each of the sessions, too.
Okay. So somebody comes in and they're smoking. 2 sessions, like, is it pretty cut and dry? Like, after 2 sessions, they're not smoking? Or you've given them tools to better face their smoking habit? What does somebody look like after 2 sessions?
After 2 sessions, most people are non-smokers.
So, really?
Yeah. So actually, after the first session, I'll have a lot of people that will have quit smoking. Or I'll have people that have cut back a lot, you know, where they were smoking a pack a day. Now they're smoking, you know, the first few days, it was like nothing at all. And then they're just smoking 2 or 3 cigarettes. And then that second session really solidifies, I'm a non-smoker. And for life, too.
Okay.
Which is an important part, because smokers, and this is the same thing with alcohol, you see the same thing too, is if you can rationalize that first cigarette, you can rationalize the second
you're back on the bus.
You're right.
Yeah.
And so you've got to make that choice, I'm a non-smoker and for life.
Okay,
right?
Gotcha.
This is a lifelong decision.
So same with weight loss. If somebody comes to you and says, I really need to lose some weight, a lot of success there getting people.
So and same thing, but with weight loss, I would typically use more than, it would probably be more like 4 sessions.
So weight loss, harder problem to solve than it, like, is that what we take from there, or just a different process?
It's a different process. And one of the main reasons is that they're typically for weight loss versus smoking, is that there's an emotional connection to eating.
Okay.
So people get into this, what I call a feel bad, distract pattern.
Okay.
So they have some emotion that they're feeling and they don't want to feel that way. And so they try to satisfy that emotion by eating.
Okay.
And temporarily it works. It makes them feel better while they're doing it. It distracts them from that
pushes the dopamine button that they're trying to get pushed.
Right. And then, but that emotion that they're feeling, whether it's loneliness or sadness or inadequacy or whatever it is, until they satisfy that emotion, it's still going to be there. And so you can eat all you want, you're never going to satisfy that emotion.
Sure.
So you need to do the sometimes difficult things that you need to do in order to satisfy that emotion. And so I teach my clients how to do that. The other thing, though, too, is that I often find that the emotions that people are experiencing, they're coming from inaccurate perceptions. So let's take inadequacy, for example, as an emotion. If it's coming from an accurate perception, it's telling you, well, you need to do something to make yourself more adequate. you need to learn some skills or do something to improve yourself in some way. And that will make you more adequate, and you won't feel that way anymore. But if it's coming from an inaccurate perception, then we need to change that perception.
Gotcha.
And so we do that in hypnosis. Using insights, we can help change that perception.
Okay, that's fascinating. Hypnotism is something I've been kind of casually studying for a little bit, and to sit and talk to somebody who is down in the fields in the foxhole every day is I'm loving this. So. So I drink too many sugary sodas. Is that something you could pretty easily fix? How many sessions is that?
I would want to talk to you more about it.
Why right? Do you feel the need to drink sodas?
Exactly.
Okay.
So gotcha. Is there an emotional component to it, or is it just, is it something more like it's a habit that you've developed?
Right.
If it's a habit that you've developed, we can probably work with that with just a couple of sessions.
Okay.
But if there is that emotional component, then I would want to do more.
I can't say for certain, but I feel pretty I'm a big bag of emotions, man. Like, they are coming out my ears. So my guess is it's probably something like that. So somebody who hears this and they're like, oh, man, I need to quit smoking, or, man, I really need to lose weight, and I can't figure out what the solution is, they come to see you. What and I obviously you can't go into full detail, but what should they expect when they come in? Is there going to be a lot of talking between you two? Is there going to be some Svengali pocket watch spinning? What should they look forward to?
Good question. So when in the first session, what we're going to do is I've got some paperwork. We'll fill that out. Then we're going to talk about their issue.
Okay.
What they want to accomplish and how we're going to go about accomplishing that. And I also like to get them to address, okay, so if you accomplish this goal that you want, well, then what are some benefits that come into your life because you've accomplished that goal? Because that's their motivation for doing it, right? And then I go into something that I call a pre-talk, where I talk to them about what hypnosis is, how it works, why we do what we do in hypnosis. And a big reason for that is that there are a lot of misconceptions about
Sure.
hypnosis. So, because most of what people know about hypnosis, they have seen in movies.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, an example of that is like, the movie Office Space. Have you seen that movie?
I have, and I don't remember the hypnosis part.
Well,
it's been so
long. Actually, it's a big part of the movie where the main character gets hypnotized, and while he's being hypnotized, the hypnotist has a heart attack and dies.
And so he's stuck.
He's stuck left, in hypnosis, which...
Does not happen,
does
I would
not
assume.
Happen.
Yeah.
You can't get stuck in hypnosis. If something like that were to happen, God forbid, what...
God forbid for the hypnotist. Nobody wants to have a heart attack.
Right. But what would happen to you is you'd either fall asleep or you would just come out of the trance naturally.
Gotcha.
You can't get stuck in hypnosis. But what I do is I address a lot of the misconceptions... Also explain how our minds work and how hypnosis works, but I want to alleviate any misconceptions, any fears about the process, because some people have fears, they're kind of scared about the process, and I want them to know, no, this is a very pleasant experience. It's actually, if there are any side effects to it, they're good side effects.
Yeah.
You're going to come away feeling relaxed, mellow, calm, confident, but I have to set that stage up front, because I don't want, because if you're feeling fear, it's going to inhibit the process.
Right. Okay. So you've spurred a couple of different thoughts. First of all, I grew up in a really conservative Christian country church, and I can still remember we had one of these guys come in to speak to the youth group. That's one of these like Satanism is everywhere guys. And he talked about, hypnotism is a form of Satanism. And he talked about this kid somewhere that got hypnotized to imagine he was riding a horse and he was galloping and doing this. And then it stuck. And so for the rest of his life, he died pretending to ride a horse. And like, you know, when you're a kid, you're like, oh no, that's awful. And then you get older and you're like, that doesn't sound right at all.
Right.
My wife and I have dabbled with self-hypnotism with some audios and stuff online, and the stuff we've listened to has told us over and over again, it's really just deep relaxation. And so I always, I'm the guy that my brain's going the whole time. And I'm like, am I hypnotized? And so, and I realize how counterproductive that is. But I have had moments where I'm like, I've probably never been more relaxed than I am at this moment. And you're right. That's a great feeling. Mm-hmm. Like even if I wasn't hypnotized, how good does it feel just to be extremely relaxed?
Right.
And so you'll find in these podcasts, I get on a little jag and I'll just talk and talk and talk. So so please interrupt me when I say something. But I want to tell you about an experience I had. So I know you're a Lexington guy from a while back, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I say to you, some of the listeners may not recognize, but Tukey's downtown, the bar,
yes.
They used to have Tuesday night something called Laugh Track Live. And so I was friends with a radio guy, so we would go every Tuesday to Laugh Track Live, and he would host it. And one night they had like a hypnotist performer come mm-hmm. on stage. And so he asked for a bunch of volunteers, and I thought, I'll volunteer. So I went with a bunch of college kids up on stage, and I'm in my 30s at that point. And so he does a little quick thing to kind of see who's susceptible up here. And he came up to me and he did it. And then he just said, no, go sit down. You're thinking it. You're overthinking it. You're not going to get hypnotized tonight. And so I went and sat down. And I think I've kind of carried with me that interfered with these self-hypnosis is that I'm the kind of guy that just can't be hypnotized. Does that person exist? Is that such a thing?
So that's a good question. Certainly there are people that are more analytical mm-hmm. in the process, but and we used to think that only a certain percentage of the population can be hypnotized. We now know that that's not really true. Pretty much anyone can be hypnotized as long as they are, one, able to follow instructions, and then also willing to follow instructions. So if you don't want to be hypnotized, you're not going to be hypnotized.
Okay.
But if you're able to and willing to follow the hypnotist instructions, then you can be hypnotized.
Okay.
So then the only exception becomes to people that perhaps have mental challenges that would prevent them from being able to follow
to
instructions.
To kind of give in to that process.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. If you can't if you can't follow instructions, then you're going to have trouble. But no, the answer, the short and quick answer is that pretty much anyone can be hypnotized.
So when I decided I must not be able to, caused a little bit of anxiety in me because I'm like, oh, here's this potential solution that I don't have access to because I can't calm down enough. So I would start Googling how to tell if you can be hypnotized, and you'd find a couple of things, and you'd find people talking about, have you ever been driving and you're listening to something and you look up and you're home and you don't remember getting home, and they say, well, that's a form, you're in a sense hypnotized.
That's right.
Is that so? That's true.
That's right. And it's called highway hypnosis.
Okay.
That's right.
Gotcha.
That's right. And actually, that's one of the things that I tell all of my clients. Yes, that's a common form of hypnosis. And pretty much everyone who's driven has experienced that. And they're like, I'll mention that to people and say, oh, yeah, that's happened. Yes.
You're like, well, congratulations. You've
you
been
have
hypnotized.
Gone into a trance.
Okay.
Yes.
The other thing I found that gave me a lot of hope at the time was this lady who did the whole thing where she was like, put your hands together like this and hold your two fingers together and concentrate on the space between those two fingers and tell yourself those two fingers aren't going to touch. And she's like, and imagine their magnets pulling towards each other. And invariably, no matter how hard I tried, my fingers would eventually touch. And she's like, if your fingers touched, you can be hypnotized. Does that sound like hogwash, or does that like, is that hypnotism?
It is.
Okay.
It is. So again, so that's called magnetic fingers. And
okay.
It's a technique that's commonly used. The thing about that, when you're doing that,
mm-hmm.
is that your fingers are going to naturally touch when you're doing that. That's
right.
Kind of the secret behind this. If they don't, you are forcing them open.
Gotcha.
Right? Which means you don't want to do this, right?
Right. You want to imagine that you can't be hypnotized.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. So the fact that mine did says deep down, probably I'm willing and ready to be hypnotized.
That's right.
Okay.
That's
awesome.
Right. Yes.
Well, this was worth the no money I paid for it. So, talk about. So most people can be hypnotized. Most people have been hypnotized unintentionally. If you're being so when I'm trying to do these self-hypnosis, even though I've been told it's deep relaxation, I expect to feel something, like to feel like maybe a loss of time, or if not that, at least what you imagine a trance feeling like some sort, a little bit of fogginess or something. Is it, am I looking for something that's not really there? Like, should it, does, I guess maybe the better way to ask this is, if you've been hypnotized in a session like with you, will you know? We're like, oh yeah, well that felt different than my normal wakefulness.
So I'm going to kind of hedge on this one and say, okay. Sometimes. Sometimes you might recognize that you're in a trance. Oftentimes people don't, though. Think about how many times you've been dreaming and not realized that you've been in a dream.
Mm-hmm.
In order to be dreaming, you have to be pretty deep.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But most people, when they're dreaming, they don't even realize that they're in a dream. If they did, it becomes lucid. It becomes a lucid dream.
Sure.
Right? Most people, when they're in a state of hypnosis, they don't even realize that they are. Now, there are sometimes physical things that can go along with it. Maybe you feel a floating feeling, or you feel a heavy feeling, or maybe you feel tingling or something like that. And that can kind of give you an indication that you're in a certain trance level. But when I do hypnosis, there are certain objective measures that I use to let me know that a person is in a certain level of trance.
Right.
But as far as the individual knowing, you may or may not know that you are. And the other thing, too, about, we generally associate hypnosis, relaxation and hypnosis, but you can be in a hypnotic state and not be in a relaxed state. Physically, you might be in a heightened state.
Okay.
So I've had, I'll have clients sometimes that are very, very animated physically, but they're still in a hypnotic trance. So during the session,
gotcha.
That can happen. But anyway, that's another kind of nuance to hypnosis.
So I mentioned I'd heard it described as extreme relaxation, but that's just half of it, I guess. I've heard it's extreme relaxation with extreme awareness.
Yes,
so
that's right.
Everything else kind of shuts down so that you can become hyper aware on what's being said to you or what you're being asked to experience.
That's right. The other thing, too, is that the hallmark, actually, of a hypnotic trance is that you are in a heightened state of suggestibility.
Okay.
And so like you talk about relaxation and awareness and focus of attention, well, you could experience that in a state of meditation as well.
Sure, sure.
But meditation and hypnosis, they're different. And what separates them is that heightened state of suggestibility.
Okay.
So if you were in a state of meditation and you suddenly became highly suggestible,
then
you're actually in
hypnosis at that point.
Okay. That's right.
So, as I've said, when I've done this stuff with self-hypnosis, and first of all, do you use self-hypnosis?
Every day, yes.
Every day, you have a list of things that you want to kind of say to yourself, like, this is the way I want to show up in the world. This is the way I want to be. And so you go into self-hypnosis to kind of help cement those, I would assume?
I do. And I use a specific type of self-hypnosis. Actually, it's a type that I teach different ways to my clients, but the self-hypnosis that I use, it's called seventh path self-hypnosis, and
okay.
It's a specific type of self-hypnosis that's a little bit different than typical self-hypnosis.
Okay.
But yes, I do that every day, and I find that it's good, even if, on that particular day, there's no change or something that I'm looking for, it's good mental and emotional hygiene.
Okay.
Just like it's good to eat right and to drink plenty of water and to exercise and to get plenty of sleep, I find that this is also a good...
This is the consciousness version of that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
So with the self-hypnosis I've tried before, it's very gradual. It, like the guy who's leading you in the audio is, he starts you here up high and he's trying to get you down into this basement of relaxation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's imagery that I've actually heard a lot, is like you're going down the stairs and with mm-hmm. every step you get more and more relaxed. But then you see the guys on YouTube who do like a really quick induction to where they're like, I'm going to snap my fingers and you're going to go out. And people, their bodies react, their heads drop, their shoulders slump. Is everybody capable of being quickly induced like that? Maybe everybody can be hypnotized, but not everybody can be that fast. Does that question make sense?
Yes. So, and the answer is that yes, you can be hypnotized very quickly as well.
Okay.
So, and in fact, when you do an instant induction like that, it is that abruptness, that startling of the awareness,
okay,
that actually very briefly takes you into a hypnotic state.
Okay.
It's important then that the hypnotist then continue to deepen.
He has to keep talking, can't stop.
Mm-hmm. Because you could very quickly also lose that trance. But yes, instant inductions work, and they work on everybody just about everybody.
So you probably sense this question coming. I'm sure my listeners do. What I'm asking is, could you do that to me that quickly? Like right here, could I say, Paul, take me under fast? Like you feel pretty confident you can do that to me, or you don't know?
Yeah,
it kind of depends on me.
We could. So what the way that I would do it is that I would first use a normal induction that I would normally use,
mm-hmm,
which I use a fairly rapid induction anyway. It's not an instant. But then I would use what is known as a post-hypnotic suggestion to reintroduce hypnosis using an instant induction. And then I would use the instant induction.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It isn't to say that you couldn't do it on the first time without being having the hypnosis experience first.
That's not your method. That's not your preference.
That's right.
Okay. Paul, what have I not asked you that you think the people need to hear?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I didn't prepare you for that. So if somebody's listening to this and they're like, oh, I am struggling with weight loss, oh, I am struggling with smoking, or I just don't have enough confidence in my life, or I need something to push me to that next level, what would you say to those people about coming to see you to distill fear or to push them over the edge to come to you?
I'd say give me a call. We could talk about it. I would say that hypnosis is a very effective tool for making change in your life. You know, with something like smoking, where I've seen success and where I've seen people that haven't been so successful is the people that are successful, it's like, I need to make this change. I want to make this change. I've decided I want to be a non-smoker. People that are on the fence and say, yeah, but I like it, I don't know if I really want to quit, they're on the fence, it's going to be more difficult.
Gotcha.
But once you've made a decision, now I need to make this change in my life, hypnosis becomes a very effective tool to help you make whatever change you want to make in your life.
Awesome. I have one more question. We'll go out on this one. So I mentioned to you before the podcast, this guy who does neurolinguistic programming named Jim Fortin that my wife and I follow and listen to. And he talked about he used to do hypnotism or hypnotherapy, and he worked on Wall Street. And so he would constantly have these Wall Street guys coming into him and say, can you hypnotize me to make me a millionaire? And what he would always say to them, he's like, it doesn't work that way. But what I can do is, if you know, here are the personality traits that are holding me back from success in my business, I can help instill those in you and help you unlock those in yourself. Does that sound accurate? So if somebody's like, man, my business is just floundering, I need some help, are you a potential answer to that?
Sure. What I often find is that there are certain aspects, usually emotional aspects, that are holding people back,
okay,
from achieving what they came into this world to do.
Yeah, I'm not and good so, enough to.
Exactly. And so it's about, yeah, teaching them and showing them, hey, you are exactly you have exactly everything you need to do whatever you need or want to do in this life. Whatever you came in this world to do, you came in fully equipped, and you don't need to change anything about yourself. And that's actually a huge realization, because a lot of people are trying to achieve something beyond themselves,
mm-hmm,
and you're already there, and it's just a matter of realizing that. And what typically happens is that we have these things that will happen in our past and that will then block us from moving forward because we've believed something in the past that's actually not true.
Your church has told you that money is the root of all evil, so of course you're not going to earn a lot of money because that's evil.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. Sure.
Okay. Just a example that comes to mind for me. Sorry. Keep going. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. But that you're absolutely right. But it could be, you know, other things. You know, where people, parents or siblings or friends or told you that you weren't good enough.
You're
in
stupid.
Some way.
You're not. Right. You'll never succeed.
And, you know, maybe you hear that one time and it doesn't have any effect. But you hear it enough and it has an impact on you, and it affects your life. It prevents you from going after your dreams and doing what you came in this world to do. And so, yeah, hypnosis can be very effective at helping you to move past that.
That's fantastic. I tend to say this probably about everybody I interview, but it sounds like you're doing the Lord's work, man. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're really helping people. And there are lots of ways to help people, but I think somebody who has the gift to go into somebody and say, man, you're enough. The way you were made, you have everything you were created to need. That feels really important to me. So I will say to you, thank you for what you do. Thank you for your time today. I really appreciate you sitting down with us. If people want to reach out to you, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, you could go to my website. So it's livetodayhypnosis.com.
Which I realize I've never mentioned the name of your business this whole podcast. So Live Today Hypnosis.
Uh-huh. So livetodayhypnosis.com. Or you could give me a call. So my phone number is 859-230-1754.
And you periodically teach classes on how to do self-hypnosis and how to actually use hypnosis, how to become a hypnotist. Is that true?
That's okay. True.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. This is awesome. I hope you had a good time. And thank you very much.
That's great. Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
I hope that was as useful and exciting to you as it was to me. I am really excited about really diving into the ideas contained in hypnosis right now, and the idea of being able to go in and all that wiring that we assume is kind of put in place early in life, going in and adjusting it to make success, make living your best life just more inevitable than it already is. So at any rate, thank you to Paul Bishop for his time, and feel free to reach out to him if you think hypnosis may be something you could use. I would guarantee pretty much it is. But yeah, reach out to him. Also, as you know, I'm a coach, a bliss coach, a life coach, whatever you want to call it. I help people find their bliss. I help them move through transitory states in their life where maybe they don't quite know what to do next. It's all connected. And one of the things I'm doing right now is I'm really pushing people towards my mailing list, because I send out a weekly email that somebody who reads these kind of things every week and gets a lot of emails just told me it is like nothing else out there. And so if you haven't read this week's, then you don't know what they're talking about. There's been a drastic change in what my email newsletter is about, but I think it's really worthwhile. I think it's really cool, and I would love it if you would check it out. And if so, if you want to, go to patchdrury.net and wait a few seconds, and a window will pop up asking you to join the newsletter. And so we would love it if you would do that, if you would opt in that way. And we're going to be offering some free stuff to people who opt in, some stuff we think is very useful in spite of being free. So keep your eye open for that. If you join the newsletter before it's available, we'll just give it to you anyway. So if you've joined and you're like, I didn't get anything free, don't worry, it's coming. But anyway, thank you guys very much, and we'll see you next week on Blissed, the podcast.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.